Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dean Summers, Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Well, once again, a good evening to you and how you be at 8:06 even on a Thursday evening on your fan, New York City. Steve Summers here, you there, Peter Hoffman, Connor Green. They on the other side of the glass and the 1-877-337-6666. That'd be the number for another 2 hour schmooze right up until Sal Licata. Sal coming your way at 10 on your fan New York City. And our New York Jets report with Brian Costello. Sponsored by, brought to you by Winters Brothers, Long Island's number one choice for waste removal and recycling services, by Van Buren Buick GMC in Garden City Park, family owned and operated since 1935, by CSEA Local 830, we work for you, and by Play Sugar House, legal sports betting is here. So, check it out at PlaySugarHouse.com, 250, 250 large, well, maybe not that large, but large enough, $250 deposit match on your first deposit. Brian, happy new year to you, sir.
Same to you, Schmoozer. How are you?
Well, we're coming along. I was reading earlier today, and I've mentioned this how many times already, but I was reading earlier today CBS Sports with Jason Lockenfora, and he was rumorizing, Brian, speculating, guessing that maybe Mike McCarthy might sit out 2019. And your thoughts about something like that?
Yeah, I saw Jason report something like that, I think, last weekend. And it's interesting. Things aren't developing very quickly with Mike McCarthy, and I kind of thought they would for some team, not necessarily the Jets, but, you know, he'd been out of a job since early December. He had plenty of time for he and his agent to kind of go over their options and so they knew which teams were going to have openings and figure out what he would want to do. And I figured he'd be one of the first guys to interview this week, and it hasn't happened. And he was supposed to interview with the Browns today, and then that got pushed to next week. So I don't know what's going on there, whether he's maybe considering, like what Jason's saying, maybe he's considering whether he wants to coach in 2019 or sit this year out, but things aren't happening very quickly with Mike McCarthy right now.
Yeah, and Adam Gase coming up tomorrow to be interviewed by the Jets, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Gase will be in tomorrow, which is their second known interview, and I say known just because sometimes there's secret interviews with college coaches that we don't find out about because college coaches do not want that stuff to get out. Because it hurts their recruiting. Back when Rex Ryan was hired, they interviewed Jim Harbaugh when he was a Stanford coach, and that was kind of a secret. And if you remember, the Boston College coach interviewed, and he lost his job because he interviewed the Jets. Boston College was so mad that he took an interview. So sometimes there's secret interviews we don't find out about.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we know Eric Bieniemy interviewed yesterday, and we know Adam Gase is coming in tomorrow.
And who else can you speculate upon? Who else might?
Well, we know Chris Richard, the Cowboys DB's coach. They requested him, and I believe that's going to be Sunday because the Cowboys play Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to do his interview Sunday after that game. They have requested Todd Monken. I'm not sure when he's coming in, the Buccaneers offensive coordinator, but I would think by middle to end of next week, they should be probably done with the first round of interviews and then probably set their sights on a few guys that they want to talk to a second time. And then we should know something, you know, about 2 weeks from now, we should know who the coach is.
You know, one of the things with Bowles, of course, was, all right, his background defense and not really a good overall head coach, per se, as we speak. What about, even if they were to hire a Mike McCarthy, what have you heard, what do you know about him being the overall head coach with both offense, which is his specialty, of course, and defense and special teams? In other words, with McCarthy and everyone else, including an Adam Gase, and we'll get to him in a second, What do you hear about any of these people, including McCarthy, of course, being a good overall head coach that inspires and motivates and puts the entire team in a good position to succeed?
Yeah, that's the hard part to figure out, really, Steve. I think that's what they have to do in these interviews, is because you look at Mike McCarthy and, you know, his credentials are better than anybody else's in this pool, right? He has 125 wins next to his name in a Super Bowl, but... You know, he had a great quarterback, two great quarterbacks, but really Aaron Rodgers was the one for the majority of his time there. And, you know, he obviously specializes in offense. He was calling the plays in Green Bay. So I'm not sure, you know, is he that CEO type of guy? Those guys are hard to find. You know, I think you look around the NFL, Bill Belichick is clearly one of them. I think Pete Carroll is one of those. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how many other guys there are. And you don't necessarily need that, because I think Sean Payton is all offense. And we saw for years their defense struggled, and now they've kind of got together. But and I think Andy Reid, I think he pretty much leaves defense alone, and Sean McVay leaves defense alone. So I'm not sure, you know, if you necessarily need that. I think it's a hard thing to figure out, though, and I think it's also a hard thing for coaches to adjust to, because these guys are usually coordinators, used to one side of the ball, and then you're asking them to kind of take over and be the CEO of the team. It's a hard balance to strike, and we saw that with Todd, and we saw it with Rex Ryan, too, you know, where defense was kind of the favorite son.
And you know you're not going to get, even if he was available, a Harbaugh out of Michigan. And by the way, is it not so, Brian, and you would know, I believe the owner of the Miami Dolphins is a Michigan guy.
Big Michigan guy. I think the business school is named after him there.
Oh, no kidding. That
He's given a lot of money to the University of Michigan, I think.
Okay, so, all right. So, obviously, we can understand the affinity he might have for Harbaugh. But, and I understand that he went to Harbaugh after getting rid of Adam Gase, or probably even before, and to find out if Harbaugh would be interested in coming to Miami. And, of course, Harbaugh has made it clear that he's going to stay at Michigan, at least, Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, until he beats Ohio State.
Well, who knows what that'll be. but Stephen Ross, I'm not sure if he explored Harbaugh this time. He kind of came out quickly and said he wasn't going to be going after Harbaugh. But a few years ago, Steve, when I think Harbaugh was still at Stanford at the time, he went and talked to Harbaugh while he still had a coach. Tony Sperano was still employed and got out, and he was talking to Harbaugh. So he liked Harbaugh back then, but we just talked about his link to the University of Michigan. I don't know how well that would be received in Ann Arbor if he goes in there and takes their coach. So, you know, I think Jim Harbaugh is staying. I believe he's staying, everything that he said. And I don't think he'll be coaching in the NFL this year.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, and that's everybody's first choice. You can imagine the money he would make getting one team to bid this and another team to bid that. The Jets, I mean, certainly there's every single Jet fan would love to have him because he's so offensive-minded. He works with quarterbacks and the whole thing already. Go ahead, Brian, go ahead.
With Harbaugh, the thing I wonder is, you know, he clashed with Trent Baalke, the GM in San Francisco. That's kind of what ended that marriage out there. And at the University of Michigan, he's basically runs the whole thing. You know, he can determine whatever he wants. Does he want to come to the NFL and maybe not have complete control? I'm not sure. And the Jets have said, you know, they're not giving complete control to anybody. McCagnan is still here. So I'm not sure, you know, if Harbaugh is going to jump unless he gets complete control of a roster.
And the situation within the front office stays the same. Any new coach is going to have to report directly to the owner, and the same thing with McCagnan, right?
Yeah, it's better, though, this time, Steve, because McCagnan is involved in the process of picking the coach. So there's going to be a little bit more of a team element to it. Not that Todd and Mike were completely, you know, on separate pages, but it was a weird situation where, you know, Charlie Casserly and Ron Wolf basically picked those two,
right,
put them together, and you know, they had dinner together one night, and then they were working together the next day. They didn't really know each other. This way, you know, McCagnan is heavily involved in this process. Christopher Johnson is going to pick the coach, but I'm sure he's not going to pick someone that McCagnan doesn't like and doesn't, you know, isn't on board with. So I think the structure of this is going to, it's still the same, but I think it'll be a little bit better because McCagnan is involved in picking the coach this time.
Yeah. What, how many people, is it just Johnson and McCagnan doing with the Q&A with all of these coaching candidates? How many people are involved other than those two?
Brian Heimerdinger is involved too, who's the vice president of player personnel, who's basically McCagnan's right-hand man. You know, he's involved. I believe it's just those three right now that are doing this. I'm not sure. You know, team president Neil Glatt might sit on some that are in Florham Park. I'm not sure about that, though. But the ones that Christopher Johnson named the other day were just he, McCagnan, and Heimerdinger.
What do you think the Jets, obviously, if they don't get McCarthy, let's just say, all right, he is not going to coach anywhere, takes 2019 off.
Yep.
Who can the Jets get, as far as you are concerned, with all of the candidates that you know about, with all the coordinators, with the college notwithstanding, but with all of the all of the coordinators, all of those who are with some relationship with the NFL, former head coaches who are out there as well, who do you think, if not McCarthy, would absolutely, without question, excite the Jets fan base?
That's a great question, Steve. I actually wrote a column for tomorrow in the Post that none of these guys really excite me, including McCarthy. I don't think McCarthy's that exciting either.
Right.
One name that seemed to generate some, you know, excitement the other night was Cliff Kingsbury, the former Texas Tech coach who the Jets are going to talk to at some point. But I'm not quite sure if the Jets are talking to him with the head coaching vacancy in mind or if they just kind of want to pick his brain, find out some offensive stuff, and maybe he's an offensive coordinator candidate. It would be surprising to me if he's a head coaching candidate just because he doesn't have much NFL background. You know, he just got fired at Texas Tech
months
ago. They never finished higher than fifth in the Big 12. I get that he had an explosive offense. He completely ignored the defense, though, there. And, you know, some people have said, oh, well, he works with Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
Yeah, but to me, Patrick Mahomes, you know, what I've seen this year from Patrick Mahomes, why wasn't he better in college? Like, why wasn't he the consensus number one pick? If he looks this good now, I wonder just kind of what kind of coaching he got in college. So I'm not sold on Kingsbury, but he was a name I think that excited the fan base, and he's kind of an out-of-the-box type of guy, not an offensive coordinator from some team. He's a guy they know a little bit. So I think he would be exciting for them, but beyond that, you know, I'm not sure who's going to win the press conference, Steve. You know, that's kind of the question here. Is who McCarthy wins the press conference, but I'm not sure who else would.
Well, this Kingsbury, from what I'm reading, and I know, yes, he got fired. He's worked with a number of quarterbacks, so we get the impression, okay, he's a quarterback's guru. Yet, your example, a terrific example with the Mahomes, and he's worked with some other quarterbacks that we know of, and yes, fired at Texas Tech, and then hired as the offensive coordinator for USC.
Yep.
So there would be that Sam Darnold connection, and he's supposed to be, once he steps into the room, somebody you can't ignore.
Yeah, I mean, he's been at USC for 4 weeks, so I don't know how much the USC thing plays with Sam Darnold. You know, it wasn't like he was there when Sam was there.
Right.
But, yeah, I think as an offensive coordinator, he's an interesting, very interesting guy. He did some really great things at Texas Tech offensively. I just can't see hiring someone like that as your head coach. And, you know, Steve, the huge thing that is overlooked in these coaching searches and hires is who's on their coaching staff. I think Todd Bowles was kind of done in by his coaching staff. I don't think it was the greatest. I think Rex Ryan in the later years was done in by his coaching staff. This Kingsbury, he's never coached in the NFL, so what kind of staff would he put together? He hasn't really worked with guys in the NFL. You know, people praise Sean McVay. Well, he hired Wade Phillips as his defensive coordinator, which was a genius move by him and a great hire that kind of helped him along the way. So, to me, that's a big question you're asking in these interviews as well, is who's going to be on your staff, and Kingsbury would be a concern for me in that regard.
Would the Jets, before we let you go, Brian, and again, much thanks, of course, for a few minutes of your time. Of all the teams now in serious January football in the postseason,
yep.
Might there be a couple of individuals that the Jets cannot talk to right now because they're still active and they're still involved in postseason football? Who might they be talking to from any of the teams that are in postseason?
Well, they can talk to the assistant coaches from those teams. Like, you know, like we just talked about Chris Richard earlier. They can talk to him on Sunday after they play. And guy like Eric Bieniemy, the Chiefs don't play until next weekend. So this is the week that any assistant coaches from the teams who have a bye can talk.
Okay.
So you'll see the Patriots assistant stuff. The guy who's interesting to me, Steve, in that category, though, is John Harbaugh. You know, there was this thing where the Ravens put this thing out a month ago. He's going to be our coach in 2019. We're working toward an extension. And then pretty quickly it came out, I think from Peter King, that, you know, Harbaugh might not sign that extension. So now what happens there in that situation? Mm-hmm. Do the Ravens think about, you know, shopping him around, basically, and would the Jets be interested? John Harbaugh is a proven coach. He'd be a guy that would move the needle. You know, if they hire him, but are you going to give up a draft pick for him? What's the price? Is it a first-round pick? You're not going to give up the number three pick, I don't think, for a coach. But is it your 2020 first-round pick? Would you do that? So that's where things could get interesting, Steve, once the Ravens are eliminated, I think, to watch what happens with John Harbaugh.
Yeah, interesting. And of course, Josh McDaniels out of the question?
Yeah, he's not coming to the Jets. that's not happening.
He's 0-1 to begin with. He had to go back home to daddy.
Yeah, well, 0-2 if you count Denver and the Colts.
The Colts, what? What happened there, Brian?
Yeah, exactly. Well, he pulled a Belichick. I think this is the anniversary, Steve.
Brian, you're the best, and can't thank you enough. And again, the Happy New Year, and we'll talk with you down the road. Take care of yourself.
Thanks for having me, Schmooze.
You got it. Brian Costello, of course, with The Fan, and you hear him with the Joe and the Evan program, and of course with the New York Post covering the New York Jets.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.